You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Kate is one of these people, right? There's been something that has happened with Kate since she joined us at Metalark Media. After going through Stugatz, some real hard shit in her life to choose self-care and health and love and mental stability over the ambitions of work.
Just a reminder, you owe us a joke, man.
Jeez. I'm going to get there eventually, but now Kate is here, and so we're going to have to get back to it. And now I can't even get to more of the part about Howard Stern. Well, okay. No more.
Holy shit, y'all. This is more serious than eating the pepper. This is... I will eat the pepper again.
No.
If I No, for the love of God. Do it, Kate. Come on, let's get serious. Shut up.
I'm sorry it's so serious. I'm sorry it's so earnest, but your story with your book, your story with your journey, your story with your voice, and the story, it moved me, Kate. I don't know what to tell you other than being at the center of our most spiritual day, everything that happened with you, I'm horrified that you had to go through suffering, but like, I'm proud that you came out on the other side feeling earnest and like you know, spiritually connected to your dad and to God. If that's where we can get through creativity, like, God bless us.
Yeah, connected to my dad and also getting tons of love on Twitter, being called the GOAT on Twitter. Not something I ever got at ESPN, so I've been refreshing my mentions and living in that goodness as well, Dan. So thank you.
Not thank me. Thank you, Kate, because we made a lot of errors, Kate. We made a lot of mistakes, right? And we've been talking a lot this morning ad nauseum about what we want Metalark to be and how we want to build it in front of everybody. And for whatever the reasons, you were called to us for reasons that I believe to be about being creatively free, and you couldn't do whatever the job you wanted to do at ESPN for whatever the reasons. And so now with life perspective, you come over here, you drop into our world, and you prove yourself to be on, you know, first day of work stronger than any of us. Now that we had the information, Tom hadn't vetted the peppers. Skipper was holding Tom's hand because his nervous system had shut down and he was weeping. Like, we shouldn't have let you do that, but you wouldn't let us not let you do that. You were like, "F off, I'm doing it."
Yeah, I guess the big mistake I see that we made is that when we introduced the idea of a Carolina Reaper, no one Googled impact of Carolina Reaper. I think we all just sort of felt like, hey, it's a pepper. How bad can it be? And then seeing Tom violently ill for an hour really shook Skipper. But, you know, Dan, I was actually yesterday, I talked to my mom for an hour about this because she watched not all 24 hours, but she watched like the first 14 hours of Freedom. And I wanted to know from her what it looked like to her. And she told me, get ready for your Carolina Reaper. She thought all along that I was going to eat it and that I should eat it, which was a really interesting perspective for my mom to share with me as someone who was both my mom and a fan of Freedom. In that moment, she said she thought I should eat the pepper. She knew I would eat the pepper if nobody stood in my way, and that she thought the benefits of eating the pepper for lots of different reasons, both for ALS research, proving myself to your audience that there was no way that I could walk out of that studio without eating the pepper. And that was my mom feeling that way. let's go back to walking in the door for freedom. Before we started the show, when I walked in the door, I did not have any intention of ever eating a Carolina Reaper, because this is something that we talked about over the week or two before the show even started. And I had come off of being on the show about 2 months ago when Tom and I ate a habanero. And until you eat it, you think, whatever, it makes your mouth hot. It's a pepper. It's spicy. You're going to be fine. But my experience in eating a habanero that ended up being a much hotter one than I thought was that you become whole body violently ill. And so walking in the door for freedom, I knew we had the ALS pepper challenge and that Tom was willing to eat a Carolina Reaper. And so I was going to promote the hell out of that, because I figured what was going to happen was that over the course of 24 hours, we would raise the $44,000. And at the end of the show, Tom would be the payoff and he would eat the Carolina Reaper. And I did not have any intention of eating one. And that's where this started, because we were joking off air with John there, with our COO there, our CFO there, being like, I am not eating a Carolina Reaper. This is not happening. I'm not doing it. And then the lights go on, though. So then the lights go on to the show, and your audience being, I've never seen an audience harnessed like you guys are able to harness your audience. So I have low sample size of understanding what the power that the show has.
No one has. That right. That is what Skipper saw. That is what he's funding. He does. He wants to protect us from doing dumb things with it because it's what he saw. He sees what the show is creatively, spiritually, and what the audience and what the stickiness is. He sees it, right? Like, this is indisputable. But he's never been this close to the TV truck that births it. So you can be out there but confused by the algorithm. What's happening here with these numbers? But he hasn't listened to the show. He doesn't know the parts of it that birth all this stuff and why this space actually works. And it's because it's on that tightrope. It's on that tightrope where we're free from all that stupidity of corporate needs to protect us from everything, but we also don't have what we need, which is corporate protecting us from shit like this, because I can't believe Tom didn't vet the pepper. Like, I obviously none of us should be doing that if we know it's going, like, if our CEO is reading this, six of these can kill you.
Yeah. And, well, I think in Tom, not that Tom needs defense, but we never thought the pepper could kill us. We knew it was the most extreme version of what we were doing. And we thought, for a stunt, we're doing 24 hours on air. So let's match that craziness with the extreme nature of what a Carolina Reaper is. Now, maybe there's a moment there where we say the audience isn't going to care whether we eat a Carolina Reaper or whether we eat a red habanero, right? The payoff is kind of the same visually on camera, where you're sweating and you're like, this is painful. And then you go off screen and you deal with it. So there's a moment there where maybe we downgrade from the Carolina Reaper, but I understood why we brought the world's hottest pepper. But so to go back to the moment of, I'm not going to eat the Carolina Reaper, and then the lights go on, your audience's power is being harnessed, and we hit that 44,000 within the first hour of us talking about the pepper challenge. So we have Shane Battier on, then we have Bob Lee on, bam, we hit 44,000. Now we have a harnessed audience who is willing to fund ALS research, and we have no further carrot. This is what I'm thinking. There's no reason for them to continue donating. There's that. And then there's also, I think of Tom as my teammate, and I have a sports background. He's my teammate in this endeavor to raise as much money as we can. And I see him eat the pepper, and I'm like, there's only one option here as the other member of the ALS, like the foundational member of why we brought this specific fundraiser. So in that moment with the lights on, I say, well, look, we need another carrot. I will eat this thing. In that moment, I knew I could end up eating the Carolina Reaper, but there was like, it's the same as a football coach going for one to tie the game instead of going for two and trying to end the game right then. It was like, I'm just prolonging life, right? Like, maybe I have to eat the Reaper, but that's down the road. And for now, let's just raise a shit ton of money. But I thought I had the control, and this is where I think we can have a discussion, was that I was in control. I'm the one that raised my hand. I feel like I'm controlling and harnessing your audience to some degree to raise as much money for ALS as possible. This is what's happening on air. Off air, all John has heard is that, like, I'm not doing this thing, right? I walk in the door, I'm not doing it. Lights go on. I'm like, oh shit. I feel like I have to add another layer to this challenge because we had Chris Mullin coming on. It's not fun if we've already had the payoff and we've already reached it and it's 9 p.m. So I'm like, bam, let's add another destination for the audience. But I thought all along I would be able to control what happened. And there was a bit of time where I thought, maybe I can talk to Stu and Dan and Mike, and on air we can be like, look, let's get to 125, and that'll be Kate doesn't eat the pepper. So there are different things I thought we could have
done. There was no time to talk. We're doing a live show with no commercials. There's no time to
talk. But Skipper's talking about that backstage. Skipper's like, let's flip this thing around. Let's add a different carrot past the one you've offered where it's like, hey, save Kate for this amount. And that's what he's talking about. So he's still committed off air that, like, I'm not eating the pepper. He's holding Tom's hand while he's ill and vomiting and reading to him. And he thinks, because I haven't talked to him yet, he thinks I don't want to eat the pepper. And that's where the miscommunication happened. So we have an hour on air, and I think I'm in control. I think I can ultimately make the decision. And there was a moment in time where Skipper came into the studio, and I said to him very briefly, I was like, I have to eat the pepper. It's fine. I'm just going to eat the pepper. But I didn't really look him in the eyes. I should have pulled him aside and said, John, I appreciate so much what you're trying to do. I see that you're upset seeing Tom ill, and you want to save me from that. But this has been my decision, and I'm choosing to eat the pepper. So thank you, but you have to stand, you know, like, please stand down. I never got that moment with him.
So explain how bad it actually was, because I don't think people understand this.
Yeah. So I think what people have to not that they have to understand, but Tom was in the back, and there was the pain of it, you know, like burning your mouth and your throat, and you can't breathe that well, which is really interesting in retrospect, because ALS is a disease where it takes away your breathing. So there was that one aspect, and I think he found that very interesting as a parallel. Then it goes into your system, like, and that's where the real pain begins. So John was back there with Tom, and Tom was rolling around on the cot, and we were trying to make certain jokes of it, where we had the Instagram live and he's trying to walk you through it and he's eating the bread. But when the camera wasn't there, he was in a ton of pain, and John is incredibly empathetic. He's back there reading to him, trying to keep him calm, looking stuff up on the internet, trying to make sure that we're not headed for even worse territory. And at some point during all of that, Tom threw up the pepper, which is the best thing that can possibly happen. And once he did that, he started to rebound because the whole thing was out of his system. So Skipper had seen all of that. It wasn't like, oh, my mouth is hot. It was, you're violently ill for a period of time. And that is what motivated John to come in and try to, you know, breach the gap between what was happening outside of the show and what was happening inside of the show. But from this is where it became interesting for me, was that once I said I was going to eat the pepper, until John walked in the room, I thought I had control over my destiny. And then all of a sudden it became, let's take the control away from Kate, not just Skipper, but even some, you know, even Mike or you,
being all of
like,
us.
who's going to volunteer for tribute? Who's going to, someone else do it? And I'm like, whoa, no, like I'm controlling this decision. I'm the one who volunteered. I'm the one who's either going to say I'm going to eat it or I'm not going to eat it. But it's not going to be someone standing in my way or putting someone else in my place, because that's not solving a problem. It's taking my autonomy and my control away from the decisions I was making. But I never thought anyone was doing it in bad faith. Not Mike, not you, not Stu, maybe Stu. Yeah. Stu was probably doing it in bad faith. Yeah. But. Yeah. But no one was operating in bad faith, which is what makes it such a complicated interaction, because everyone was operating from wanting the best for me and the best for the show, and what was going to be like the nexus point of finding those two things. And I knew the only connection point between best for show, best for Kate, best for everyone was me eating the pepper. Because I knew once everything had started that it was an element of, and whether this is right or wrong, of proving myself to your audience. And we're the one that set up the stakes. It could have been lower stakes. We made them a little higher than they needed to be, but I'm an athlete. I raised my hand and I wanted to make the final decision.
This part is so complicated. It really is, because it has so many different layers on this.
We're also armed with the results, Dan. So, like, she's okay now, okay? But Dan's right. He made this point earlier, Kate. Had you not been okay, like,
it would have been all of our responsibility. Yes. But to me, part of what's fascinating here, Kate, like, honest to God, the symbolism, the art, the beauty, the spirituality, the love, is that when Skipper was at ESPN, and he told this story on South Beach Sessions, and I'll talk to Skipper on a South Beach Sessions. I should probably get him together with the CEO of DraftKings so they can better explain to you what this is going to be, and I can stop boring you with yarns that yammer and ruin the show. But when he was at the top, when Skipper was at the top of ESPN, he realized that the journalism they were doing on concussion work with NPR, like, these are billion-dollar settlements now that have been made by corporations. He realized that that the conflict of interest between journalism and commerce at ESPN, that it could keep climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing, but at the end, your corporate partner is the NFL. And so he looked up and said, well, wait, the conflict of interest is me. I've got to make a decision between our business and journalism. I'm trying to empower journalists and storytellers, but now at the height of this, against our biggest partner, the most popular sport in the world, they're telling me on concussions that NPR's reporting is not something that their journalistic partner can be associated with. Who's got to make that decision? Okay, I can't put that one on anyone else. I'm the conflict of interest, John Skipper. From there, he goes to this, right? To this, that's freedom. All right, we're free. Here, lead us, most powerful man in sports. Lead us. And when he's trying to lead us, we're like rebels throwing peppers and shit at each other. And we're like saying, well, that was the conflict over there, but the conflict over here is over a pepper. That's fine, Skipper. We understand the conflict, the moral conflict, the corporation against morality and concussions, brain damage. And hey, is it dangerous that we're funding all of this machine with bodies we're throwing and brains we're throwing in the mill that sometimes kill themselves? Like, that's what the conflict was there. Over here, it's a pepper.
Yep.
Like, congratulations. Well, congratulations on the demotion, Skip. It serves you for trying to come and have
dealing with a pepper.
Having a corporation with a heart. Like, congratulations. Your first day, this is what you're going to have to deal with.
Well, that's the question that I was asking myself, and when I was talking to other people on the show and off, was whether the pepper was representative of something or not. And I'm a little lost on whether it was representative of some. I think there are dynamics at play. We haven't gotten to, like, the gender dynamics of it. But I think, is the pepper representative of the most extreme version of what could happen on the show? Therefore, there need to be, quote unquote, controls in place. I'm not sure that I agree with that. I'd be hard pressed to understand how the pepper is evidence of something out of control that needs to be reined in. That's just not how I felt about it while it was happening. And something I've talked about in the last day, you know, since I felt better after eating the pepper, was the gender dynamics of it. Because I didn't think that there were gender dynamics until someone else introduced the idea that me not eating it would be a weakness born of my gender. And that is where the gender dynamics were introduced, and not all along, in my opinion. I didn't think of it as a, because Tom ate it, and then all of a sudden I'm a woman and I'm not going to eat it. So is it a gender dynamic where you guys are trying to pressure me because I'm a woman? Is it, all of those things did not come into my mind until I started hearing it on Twitter or someone else introduced that idea. And then that was very confusing for me, because even from the broader perspective of, okay, I write a lot and I talk a lot about female athletes and women's sports and how I believe we need to understand better what holds them back. And then it's like this broad indictment on me if I don't eat the pepper. Like, I want women to have more female athletes have more shine in media, and yet I can't even live up to eating a pepper. All of a sudden, the stakes in my mind became incredibly high over those last, like, half hour before eating the pepper.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought three for my wife, daughter, and myself for game one. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
I was moved by the entirety of what we did this weekend for a million different reasons, laughter and love. But what I saw in the middle of that was a whole bunch of human beings and executives who really and deeply cared for Kate and cared for all of us in that moment. Because so I walk out of the fun and the hijinks, and this has to do with the funniest story that I am going to get to at some point. The funniest thing that happened the entire weekend to me in a weekend of moving, funny, and spiritually liberating creative freedom. I walk in from our room where we're having the fun, and if whenever the video comes out, you will see how horrified I am visually that Kate has taken the power of the joke away from me and had shows and hasn't gotten, I can't have the time out I need to get to the meeting where I can discuss how Kate feels about this so she's not being bullied into doing something just because she made a mistake of underestimating our audience and what they'll do for, like, causes, right? Causes that this had to play out this way for her to live it this way, but she underestimated, as we all have, as the business has, as ESPN, as everyone's underestimated our audience. She said $88,000, and boom, it was there like that.
And I'm certain there was a part of Kate when she said $88,000. She's like, there's no way this audience is getting $88,000.
I mean, you really did. You really were dumb there. That's the dumbest thing you did, Kate, honestly.
Was dumb.
Yes, like you needed to put it at like $10 million, honestly.
Walking in the door, I said $44 million. And all of a sudden, in the heat, and you guys know this, you do the show every day. Lights are on, you're in the moment. I went from $44 million to $88,000. I mean, that is the dumbest thing.
I can't believe, I don't even understand how that's where you raised the stakes to. Like, that,
we're already halfway there.
Really, I regret hiring you for Meadowlark Media because of how intergalactically dumb that was.
Kate, you really were just negotiating against yourself, though. Like, when you were in the studio and it was like, will she, won't she, I had talked to you before in the weeks leading up to this and until the show started. And I thought the number was still like 4 million until it kind of changed mid-show. It was 44 million or whatever. And so that's why I think I might have been the only one in the room being like, don't do it. I care about you. Don't do it, Kate. I don't want you to get sick. Don't do it. And so then I think that kind of played into this awkward gender dynamic conversation that then occurred later.
How about the optics on that one? This is what I'm telling you guys. So it was fascinating from walking from one room to the other, okay? The creative room and then the room now entrusted. It's the bet we made that these people, that's our brain trust, that is our caring brain trust. The bet we made is all this money that we thought we were going to get, that we didn't know we were going to get, but we thought we were going to get, take it and make it a business. Don't give it to any one person. It's just take it and make it a business.
I tried.
I know. Stugatz did try. From every angle, he did try. it was impressive to watch. So I walked from one room, the one where the fun is happening, into the other where people are horrified. I don't even understand what I'm walking into, but it's intellectually stimulating because now it's about the conversation of the optics of a bunch of, like, we're not Barstool. Everybody knows we're not Barstool, but the optics in this day and age with a show that doesn't have enough women. We had women, but then we left ESPN and there need to be a regrouping so that, like, we know we've been a two male show for too long. We too have blind spots. Like, we need to fix that. And if we really want to empower, I was trying to do that on ESPN with Skipper, like put that chair in that chair next to you all the time. Have a place where only all women are yelling at a man. Like, that's what we were trying to do over there, but do it for real. Do it for real. We've got the optics, as Meadowlark Media tries to be a corporation with a heart, of frothing frat boys bullying a woman into the world's hottest pepper while Jessica stands in the back saying, don't do it. Don't do
literally
it.
Literally stands, Dan.
Yeah, literally
standing. Of course, without a chair. Without a chair.
Literally standing in the back and with no context and nuance that, hey, does the love matter? Does any of this matter? That everyone's got different perspectives on this. And what I was heartened by is that I walked into a room, and as much as they cared about the content, they proved it with all the support they got us for that day. They cared about Kate, man. All I felt in that room, Kate, is like, no, Kate, you idiot, Kate. No, why did you choose that? Why did you choose that? You just saw what happened to Tom, and it's what makes her like. It's just she earned it with our audience by mistake. But yeah, that was badass. Everything you did there to get closer to your dad was badass, and to see it that way in retrospect must move you to tears.
And you've alluded to this a couple of times, and I don't know how interesting this is for your audience, but it's interesting for me, and I'll just assume that they're going to care that the 90 minutes I was in the bathroom, although I was in an incredible amount of pain, because it's your body is trying to reject something that is kind of that is burning it, that is giving you the sensation of burning it. I don't think Tom even knew when he chose this pepper challenge as representative of ALS how he was giving you a little glimpse, if you ate something like a Carolina Reaper, of beauty of what it must feel like, because you're struggling to breathe, you're in an immense amount of pain. You don't want to move because moving stirs everything up. So these are all parallels to ALS. And I'm sitting there drenched in sweat. Another thing that my dad always had to deal with, because your system is out of whack when you have ALS. So struggling to breathe, he couldn't move, me not wanting to move, dripping sweat as my body's processing this. That is what my dad was dealing with on a very much of a smaller scale. So I'm sitting there and all I'm thinking is, oh my God, like all that matters in life is that you have people who love you. I had that. And that you have your health. And when I started to feel a little bit better and I called Tom in and we were sitting across from each other in the women's bathroom at the Clevelander, just saying to each other, this is how my dad could never feel this, the body recovering, the body getting through something. And he's like, my mom will never feel that. That your body could heal itself. That's what you lose with ALS. It's your body healing itself. And I'm not saying I knew all of this would happen when we were in our 90 minutes of chaos over whether I should or whether I shouldn't. I probably shouldn't have dragged that out that long, but we got the money up, got the numbers up. But the aftermath of it was Tom and I, who have been through this thing and we know what this disease looks like. One, knowing we raised a shit ton of money. We raised money so that this organization can try to help people who have this disease, and you have this small window of time, 90 minutes, where you really understand and you connect with what the disease really feels like. So I didn't know all of that was going to happen, but when I came on the show the next morning, I tried to articulate it and kind of stumbled around what I was feeling that night. Now, I think all of this to me, where I've landed, and I think there are things the show can do better around women, certainly. But this wasn't about women to me. This was like, this to me is the beauty of the show. That's really where I landed. Like, it's the beauty of your audience, the beauty of the show, that it created a space where all of this could happen. I think the optics are unfortunate because I think the optics are what they are because there aren't more women in the room and there haven't been more women in the room. I don't think if there were more women in the room, it would have changed a whole lot because I have my mom at home who, if she had been in the room, would have been like, hey, honey, you better own up to what you said. That was her position. So, but I think that having more women in the room, and again, I'm not like, this is not me proselytizing. I think it would have taken away from the optics because the one thing I've learned about sports and living them out all my life is that, like, women love a lot of the same things that men do. Like, women love, this show has so much cultural cachet. And women want to be a part of that too. And having more women in the room simply allows all of us to understand that, like, what the show is genderless. But until we get there, we don't know that it's genderless. And I think that's what a lot of people outside of the room were responding to.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
In order, Kate, to genuinely sell your book, as opposed to the way that we've been doing it, which is I loved your book. I read your book. It is just such an easy read, and we've certainly been promoting your book.
I'm getting to it.
We've been promoting what it is that you what you did there, but in the spirit of what I'm telling you, okay? All the Colors is the name of the book, and it's a love letter to her father and Kate Fagan. Through this spiritual experience, she left ESPN because enough about the mundane stuff. I need a higher calling. Her father got very sick. She tended to him at the end. Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom is a book like this. Kate, I imagine you would say, right, like there was some inspiration in that. You are going to stand next to your father's deathbed and slowly see this disease take him. And you're going to do it to get repair in your own life so you could break the patterns and be a bigger adult on the other side of this. This is freedom. This is ALS robs it of you. And so when you are talking to your mom specifically, the woman who loved this man and birthed this athlete and her competitive will, that once she's saying that it ends up becoming it legitimately, hey, I've made my decision, I'm going to go do this. And then she just gets pissed off and it becomes, I'm getting more and more pissed off because I want to do this. I've decided it. And now there are only men in my way keeping me from doing it, including Master joking around drinking 20 jalapenos with a giant.
I love Master, but can we pause and this is not throwing him under the bus at all. He happened to be in the seat. He was trying to eat 20 pickled jalapenos. Yeah. If there is not a better representation of like whatever that is, I'm like, you want to eat 20 pickled jalapenos, which have no spice whatsoever. I'm trying to eat a Carolina Reaper. Get the out of the seat so I can do this.
That's exactly how it happened. She wanted all the men out of way. Yes. I've made this decision and men are trying to protect me. Hey, gender politics. We're talking over in corporate about consent and these big conversations about that stuff. And she's saying flatly, I've wanted to do this for an hour, and the only reason I haven't now that gender politics have been introduced is because the men are standing in my way. Get out of my way. But so, talking to your mom about this, the specifics of the athlete they made together, of course she would arrive at that decision, right? Like, of course, Tom did it, so you can, it's dumb. Tom did it, though, so, yeah, why couldn't you? Tom did it.
Tom did it, and I asked my mom, did you think I was going to eat the pepper? And she said, I was 99% certain. I was really worried for you for that 1% that somehow the men would stand in your way and that on the backside of it, there would be nothing you could do, right? Like, let's say I come on the show a month from now and everyone's joking. Well, Kate, you said you'd eat the pepper and you didn't. And then I have to live with that for the rest of, seriously, and it may seem like a small thing, but as an athlete, I take what I say and what I'm going to do very seriously and rising to challenges very seriously. And I was horrified in the middle of all this, and my mom was too, that there was a world in which on the other side of freedom, I would have to come on this show and I'd be the person who says I'm going to do things and doesn't do them. And I would know that the only reason I didn't do them is because people stood in my way and tried to save me from something that I wanted. And so all of that was very compelling to me in my own mind. And I'm so thankful that eventually I got to just walk in there, tell Master to get the fuck out of the way. Dan, I think you didn't really want me to eat the pepper, but I was like, I need this moment for many different reasons, to be a good teammate to Tom, to raise money for ALS, to connect with my dad, to prove myself to an audience that I really love. this is an audience that I've never seen before. I didn't have this audience at ESPN, who I think they actually get to know the people who are on this show. Those things were incredibly important to me. And coming on the opposite side of it and being able to feel that now they know who I really am in this small way, that to me is part of the beauty of what all of this part of freedom was for me in my experience.
Kate, I'm wondering, was mom at all worried about me? I did something $12,000 later that, you know, kind of helped the cause.
Well, look, my mom had a lot of feedback on Freedom. One, the fancy lad. She didn't get the show before this, but fancy lad, Chris Whittingham, is her number one, perhaps above me.
Wow.
And then she was similar to me in that when, Stu, when you were beginning to supposedly volunteer a solution and it ended with you drinking a Dr. Pepper, she thought you actually won points because it was fancy lad, Stu, and then Leonard from Palm Springs. Those
wow.
were her. Those were her top
medal stands. Wow, yes. I love that. Yeah. I love that your mom appreciates some good humor. All right.
Lenny.
I hope it's that right. Someday in the future we hear from Lenny again. It seems impossible. We didn't get his information. Before we leave here, because I found this amazing, because Jessica, what was it that you said? You said something about we would not have reached equality until something related to Stu Gatz, that we wouldn't have reached true gender equality until?
Until a woman could get away with being the character of Stu Gatz publicly, and that would be acceptable, yeah.
This is what I love, though, and I just love the symbolism of all this as we dabble, you know, yammering dabble about spiritual journeys of a company that is going to be about freedom, and may we have marathons in the future, right, Kate? Like, we found our cause. We can now have a Freedom Festival in a year, now that we know how to do music that has actual bands, and, like, I don't want to overpromise, but we have the support to feed this stuff so that we could do, like, a telethon like Jerry Lewis did and have it be comedy and have it like legitimately raise money where we don't do stupid things. But I want you to fully absorb the symbolism of it wasn't merely that you had to get all the men out of the way to make a decision that they were trying to protect you from, and that Master is eating 20 sweet peppers and you're like, get out of the seat because I've been frustrated by you guys for an hour. You just said you didn't want to be Kate Faken. You didn't want to be the one who says things and then doesn't do them. And you're staring at Stu Gatz, who has made an empire out of it. Like, that's how we will reach true equality, really, because Peppers and Stu Gatz drinking a Dr. Pepper and getting 12,000 more than you. Can we figure out if that's 70% or not? Because there's some art right there where Stu Gatz is getting more for $100,000 of Dr. Pepper than Kate got for $88,000 of the world's hottest pepper.
It's a manifestation of women have to do twice as much to get half as much.
Oh, yeah, the first word in manifestation always has to be man. There ain't woman.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.